supporting WHYY Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at PennMedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
2019 marks 50 years since humankind first stepped foot on the moon, and today more specifically marks the golden anniversary of the penultimate attempt to realize that goal. Let's learn more on Sky Talk with Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. Derek, harken back to the days of Apollo 10.
You know, we often don't think about the missions that led up to the Apollo 11 landing on the moon, where astronauts actually stepped out and walked around on the surface. But from December of 1968 through July of 69, there were a few other missions that were meant to prepare everyone for what was coming. The final dress rehearsal for the July mission was Apollo 10. Astronauts Tom Stafford, John Young, and Gene Cernan flew from Earth out to the moon. They took their lunar module called Snoopy from the command module in orbit around the moon all the way down to within 50,000 feet of the surface of the moon. Their task was to finish testing all of the equipment that would be used for that mission from the point of reaching lunar orbit down to almost landing on the surface, the rendezvous maneuvers that would be necessary to reconnect the ascending lunar module when it came back up, and check out all the radars and communications and everything else that would be needed to make a successful landing.
50,000 feet. That sounds tantalizingly close.
Oh, so close they could almost taste it. But their instructions were to fly to 50,000 feet and no further. And so flight management had in the back of their minds exactly who it was that was piloting the craft. You know, we're talking about Gene Cernan, who eventually became the commander of Apollo 17, and John Young, who would be commander of Apollo 14. John Young has the reputation of being the astronaut's astronaut, the pilot's pilot. He was recognized as being the guy who could fly anything better than anybody else. So flight management clearly felt that if they provided enough fuel for the lunar module to get down to the surface and get back up, they might just have taken the chance to do that. So rather than open the door for that, flight management only gave them enough fuel to go down to about 50,000 feet and return to reconnect with the spacecraft coming home.
You know, when you see that fuel tank needle near E, you think twice.
I know I do when I see it in my car doing that, and I feel like I'm sure they did the same thing, although I'm sure they were sorely tempted to see just how far they could get that fuel to go.
Derek, how about these new reports of a greater gravity tug on the moon than previously realized? Now seems like everybody wants to go there.
You know, we've talked about how it is that NASA is now building its plans to return to the moon. SpaceX has always had a plan in mind to go to Mars that would include going to the moon. And now some of the other players in the commercial field are getting there, too. It was just recently announced by Blue Origin that they now have a craft that they're constructing that will act as a landing craft onto the surface of the moon. This one is about 14 feet tall. It weighs 7,000 pounds when it's empty. It will have plenty of payload capability to take materials down to the surface of the moon to set up autonomous operating stations, but it will also have capability to take astronauts to the moon as well. There currently is no landing craft available to do that. Nothing on the drawing boards at NASA anywhere, although there are stories that they're trying to cobble together bits and pieces from other missions to do that. But there is nothing as yet under construction. It should begin soon.
Perhaps one of the challenges is that the moon in 2024 will be somewhat different than the moon of the early 70s.
Yes, indeed, that's true. And in fact, that difference is it'll be slightly smaller. But we shouldn't really take that to be very much smaller, in fact, at all, because the change in size that we're talking about really amounts to inches, if that much. What we're talking about is how the moon itself is shrinking because it's cooling. Its interior is still cooling. And we can tell that this is going on in two ways. Number one, seismometers on the surface of the moon that were placed there by Apollo astronauts for a decade or so afterwards sent us information about lunar quakes. In a re-examination of that data, we've been able to match the location of those earthquakes with fault scarps that we see on the surface of the moon, what are called thrust scarps. These are places where it looks like a layer of crustal material has been overthrown over an adjacent piece of crust. And that could happen if the interior of the moon is shrinking inside the skin so that a wrinkle or this thrust scarp can be thrown over an adjacent piece. So we're not talking about a tremendous amount of shrinkage, and we shouldn't expect that this will go on forever. The moon will essentially stay the same size that it is, but we're seeing some geologic processes that are similar to geologic processes that we see here on Earth.
Lastly, what phase of the moon is visible to those who step out of doors this week?
Well, we have a really wonderful opportunity to catch a great view of the moon. It's rising fairly late at night, but if you happen to be up very early on Tuesday morning, you'll get a really great view of the moon along with the planet Jupiter. Jupiter and the moon on Tuesday morning are rising around midnight, so if you happen to be up late that evening, you can catch them over on the eastern horizon about a half an hour after midnight as they come up. But if you're an early riser at about 4:42 in the morning, they'll be around toward the south. But at that point, International Space Station, bright, gleaming object, you can't miss it, will actually fly right between the two, the moon and Jupiter, between 4:42 and 4:47 a.m. If the sky is clear, we'll easily be able to see this. No binoculars, no telescope needed. Just look for the moon, and you'll be able to see Space Station as it goes by. And if you hang around for another few minutes, by 4:47 over to the left of Jupiter, you'll also be able to see Saturn.
Thanks, Derek.
My pleasure, Dave.
Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. He joins us each week at this time on Sky Talk.